Easy rock, smooth jazz, the quiet storm, binary jazz. Here with me today, as always, binary Gary, or Gary in real life. I'm also joined with by Allison Plus, who is Allison in real life. I'm your host, Jazz Sequence, who is Chris in the real world. Welcome. Join the journey with us on Binary Jazz.
You gotta quit with this real world stuff, man. It's all just happening in here. It's none of it matters. None of it's real.
Nothing simulation?
Real. I mean, it's not a simulation. Like, in my head, it's real. In your head, it's real. But those reels, they don't intersect.
Yeah.
And with
I'm glad
that,
I brought this to him.
Yeah, that was good.
Stellar start.
I was like, and? I picture, I know you probably aren't, well, no, I was going to say, I just picture you like a dinner table with your kids and Rhonda, and then like all of a sudden, everyone's chatting, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, this is it. our thoughts and your thoughts are different. Everybody's like,
reality is an illusion.
You know, kids.
It's not. What I'm saying, damn it, it's not. What I'm saying is that we have completely separate realities.
Right. Well, you're the center of your own story.
God. That's depressing.
You're the main character. Live it up.
As we head into the end of season three of Binary Jazz, the moral, the ongoing theme of Binary Jazz in 2020 is, damn, that's depressing.
we're like spiraling out.
Oh, spiral is a great topic to couple with this, actually. But before I digress from that.
Before you talk about space?
Yeah. Yeah. Time and never mind. I was thinking I needed to share with you all on a walk the other day my constant vacillation on whether the internet is awful or wonderful. I had a temporary moment where the greatness of the internet outshined the terribleness of the internet.
Which was a cat video or what?
No. I was actually thinking
that's
about
the only thing good on the internet for me.
Well, here's what I was thinking about.
Like the dodo, nothing else.
So like the 60s were a time when there was like a big social recognition and need for upheaval in like, wow, we're doing some shitty stuff. Incidentally, that continues. But the benefit of the internet is the leveling the playing field for voices that weren't able to have equal and fair representation in the 60s. So outside of all the craziness that obviously is the world right now, why is this not in gallery view? The internet brings like a pathway, a voice for people that I certainly want to hear from. So thanks, internet.
That is the thing.
For not being like complete.
I'm always fascinated by your need to make it be one thing or the other.
You and me both, honestly.
Like it kind of lives in the middle for me. It can be good and bad.
I think for me, it certainly is. Like everything is grayscale. I'm totally with that. But I feel like I vacillate dramatically on the internet. And mm-hmm. often I'm just convinced that it is just absolute trash and there's no redeeming qualities of the internet. So mm-hmm. I'm thankful for a moment where not only did I pass like center, but I even got to an area where like I thought maybe part of the magic of the internet is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here to deliver shareholder value. That's
my internet is good story recently is that a few weeks ago, I got a direct message from someone on Twitter, which normally, let's just be honest, is not a good thing in my world. But it was from someone and they were just like, hey, this is either going to be right on point or super weird, but are you so-and-so from LiveJournal from however many years ago? And I was like, oh my God, I am so-and-so from LiveJournal. Specifically, oh, not so saying cool. my screen name because I still, it's yeah. still there.
yeah.
And it was this woman that I was friends with for like years and years on the internet. And she like tracked me down and now she's living in Chicago and we like caught up and it was great. So wow. I don't know. I thought that was nice.
That's cool.
And also wow. apparently I'm very findable.
I mean, you are on a podcast. You're a star of a podcast.
No. Star on a podcast.
I don't have an internet is good story.
well, aren't we a part of your internet is good story?
I mean,
story?
Yes, always.
it's a mixed bag.
He's like, I can't really, nothing comes to mind about great things on the internet, but.
So last night, Thursday night is when we do our family D&D. And I think I broke my players a little bit last night. And again, to be clear, my players in this context are my family, my kids, and my partner. I think I broke them a little bit. So I'll set the stage a little bit because I think my point is that I achieved my goal, I believe, with and my goal being moral ambiguity. So
I don't know.
the party of adventurers gets contacted by this really shady guy who offers them a job because he knows that they're in debt to pay off they're in debt to pay off the loan that they got to make repairs to this tavern that they sort of inherited, that they fixed up and it's in operation again. So they're in debt. And so this guy comes in, he knows that they have this debt and he's like, I've got a job for you. And they don't really ask a lot of questions. It's like, okay, sure. It's going to pay off our debt. We'll take the job. And the job is to be essentially hired guard on this cargo ship that's going up the coast to deliver some cargo to another coastal city up north. And they're sure, fine. That works well. While on the ship, they notice a guy who seems like basically like strung out and they're not really sure what's up with that, but he's definitely got some sort of habit and his fingers have this like brown or blackish stain to them. And they're like, well, that's weird. And nobody seems to be surprised by this dude being kind of strung out. Like this is a normal thing for the crew. Eventually, like the first thing that they said they wanted to do the first thing my daughter said she wanted to do when they got the job is she wants to see what's inside these crates that they're shipping. So they eventually do that. They open up the crates and they find that hidden amongst the like barley and some of them have like beans and other sort of like, you know, normal like trade goods. There are these pouches, these rather large pouches that contain this strange blackish brownish powder that they're not sure what it is. So they grab one because that's what you do because they don't know what it is. So they're just going to pocket this thing and just kind of see what happens. They do get a sense that it is, I think they were able to identify that it is like derived from mushrooms. And it has some sort of like magical component to it.
I like the dramatic tea sip there.
Yeah, I know, me too. I was just like, what did you make them decide between, Chris?
I know, that was effective.
eventually they realize that one of them recognizes or remembers that there are stories of a particular sort of drug that is made from psychotropic mushrooms with like magic like imbued in it, and it can be consumed in a variety of different ways. The base format that normally comes in is this powder, but it can be smoked, it can be cooked into food, it can be put into a tea, it can be snorted, you can do whatever with it, and there are different strains or variations that add different elements and effects to it, and it's highly, highly, highly addictive. So they realize they have this thing, so they put the thing back. And then so they realize they're shipping a bunch of drugs like hidden in the cargo up to this other coastal city. So they realize they're working for some not so great folks, right? So their ship gets attacked by pirates. They fight off the pirates. The ship has to go into coast to make repairs. And while they're on the coast, through investigating a house on the hill that looked like unused, they discover that there, underneath the house, there are these other sort of smugglers that are like using this house as a base. They were captured by the smugglers, and they were gonna just get chucked out into sea, but they made a deal with these smugglers to basically snitch on the pirates that they're working for, hand over all the cargo, and then in exchange for potentially money and like safe passage to somewhere. The details weren't really worked out because he didn't know how much what they had and how much of what they had was legit and whatever. So that was all the setup. So last night we actually got to the actual assault on the ship, I guess. So the deal was that he told them that he would send them a message, and that would tell them that, you know, it was time that they would and make sure that the guards, the watch guards, are taken care of. They did still have a small amount of the stuff, not like a big pouch, but they had some of it. So my daughter, who's also the ship's cook, cooked some of this stuff into a batch of cookies that she made for after dinner to give all to the crew. She made 7 cookies with this stuff in, and the rest of the batch was fine. And so after she made the dinner, she gave out the cookies, and then she was also like saving some so that at the changing of the watch, she would give some to the people coming off and also some to the people coming on. And one of the people my son was able to get one of the watch duties. So there's 2 other watch guards, and she gives 2 cookies to each of the other dudes. And then she just gives 3 other random crewmates the other 3 cookies, just to sort of sow chaos, right? But the two watch guards are getting double doses, right? And she doesn't really know how much the right amount is because she's never done this thing. She doesn't really know much about this stuff. So she's just like putting some in. Mm. As you do, right. The moral ambiguity comes in when they start to see the effects of this stuff being consumed on like on the crewmates.
Do they help these people now, or do they just let them ride it out? Well,
it becomes really like stark really quick. Like one of them is like has like super paranoia and is like yelling at everybody and just going kind of nuts. One of them is like got like this crazy like fever and is shaking uncontrollably. The 2 guys on that are on watch, one of them had like just starts getting like itching and like feels like there's bugs crawling over and eventually starts clawing at his skin and like ripping chunks of skin off because he's got stuff all over him. And then the other guy is spends a period of like just the fever and then just like down out. So seeing the way that this affected was like, oh, and then the smugglers come on and they're like, okay, so let's do this. And they go down and there's obviously all the other crew that needs to be taken care of. So now they're helping this group of shady individuals, and they're fighting with this other group of shady individuals, some of whom they've been living with for, a few days on this ship, feeding them and then seeing the effects of this like weird drug that they don't really know very much about, but is now like having a very real effect in front of them. And they're kind of going down pretty easily, all of the crew. And they're like, I don't really know that I want to kill this person anymore. And it was like that moment that I was like, yes, moral ambiguity accomplished.
On my own family.
Yes.
And loved ones. It's like a really elongated like trolley problem, only you have to like watch the
carnage in slow yourself. Motion. Yeah, you're like the trolley is coming, and as it approaches, it's not going fast at all. It's just very slowly. There are the people, and it's very slowly just crunching over their bones. You can hear the visceral sound of the bones crunching under the yes.
Also, lesson to not accept baked goods from your daughter.
That last part right there is why I don't D&D. I couldn't handle that description you just gave. Like, I squirmed in my seat and I'm still viscerally uncomfortable.
I know, I'd constantly be getting up from the table and then people would need to recap, but like nobody wants to recap that. I'd be like, oh, I just need more water. I'll just be right back.
It was very satisfying. And like, I mean, part of me like also like, I mean, yes, I feel like maybe I went a little bit far, but also like, I don't know, as a parent, like life lessons, right? Like things aren't black and white.
I knew you were gonna say life lessons. That's so weird.
I'm very predictable. So it was, but it was good because like, I feel like, especially like at the beginning of like an adventuring campaign or whatever, like there are moral decisions that sort of potentially could shape like the direction that the party takes in the future and the decisions that they make. And like, they went into this making bad decisions and they made more bad decisions. And then they just kept building on the bad decision. And D&D is all about bad decisions, right? Like it's all about things blowing up in unexpected ways. And this blew up in the perfect way. And the thing is that like, I really expected, like I had this whole thing planned out for when they arrived at the other city and like what they would do there and all this stuff. And my partner's like, no, we're gonna sell these people out and we're gonna get a ship back the hell out of here.
Wait a minute. At the end of the night, do you kind of just look around and you're just like, who are you people? You weren't supposed to sell them out. You were supposed to do the right thing.
Oh, I loved that. I was so proud. That was amazing. It was like all this preparation. I like had downloaded stuff about the other city. Like I was like getting like, all that stuff. That's all out the window now.
We're dealing with these pirates and we're taking them down.
So that's my great thing. So I think at this point we have a topic.
Oh, right. Topic. The topic this week is knolling.
Knolling.
K-N-O-L-L-I-N-G.
Okay, so a knoll, since we're talking about D&D, a knoll is, it's not a K-N-O-L-L, it's a G-N-O-L, but a knoll is sort of a large, almost like hyena-like humanoid creature that is kind of feral, but and they live in like packs. So knolling would be when you live out in the forest with like a group of people and you like live in a cave and you make that space sort of like livable and you kind of don't go out and see other people, but you live in a very sort of small clustered community.
That sounds on brand for me.
Is this knoll spelled K-N-O-L-L? Is that the same as like the grassy knoll?
Yes, same spelling, yes, different meaning. Spelling.
So knolling is
apparently, you think it's different meaning
presidents.
There.
I think it's pretty clear. Murdering U.S. presidents.
Murdering U.S. presidents.
Go knolling? Not particularly. Yeah. Sorry. Also, I got us all on some kind of watch list for that.
Yeah.
You're already on the watch list, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Oh, I know. I'm certain of that. But I'm also not concerned about it because apparently terrorism is fine. So
that's fair.
Well, as long me as you're flapping white.
I mean, we started this episode with me being extremely pale, so I think that.
Noling, so
is it like, I feel like it's like when you go out for like a Sunday drive in an area where there's a lot of like rolling hills.
Yeah, you're going yeah. Noling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but that sounds like fun, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It sounds way better than my previous suggestion.
Or
a little less somber.
There are knolls, mm-hmm. and then there's like little ones that are knollings. Oh. Then the knoll and the knolling.
It's a hill.
So while you're out knolling on a knoll, you might find on your knolling a little knolling.
A little knolling.
Yes.
Well, that's adorable. I wish that was right.
On the other side of that spectrum, again, since I'm
on the other side of the knoll.
On the other side of the knoll, again, since I have D&D in the brain, apparently. This is what happens, I guess, when we do this on Fridays. a knolling.
I like it.
Is a creature, a sort of grassy creature that disguises itself as a knoll, but is actually a living knoll that wants to eat you.
How disturbing would that be if you're like walking over, like
walking on something in
a mound, and it starts moving and you're like, oh no, I've made a huge mistake.
I would read that picture book.
My right? stories are all about that experience of like, oh, I made a
a story of unease.
I this is neither here nor there, but
that's what the show is about. So it's definitely.
I will often say to my older kids, "Say hello to your knees," and they say, "Hi knees," and it cracks me up. Hi knees, it's dumb. Anyway.
hi knees. Is that like?
But
like in Throw Mama from the Train, and they're having this intense discussion about how murder is bad, and then Danny DeVito's character looks out the window and is like, "Oh, look cows."
Like, it's not dissimilar from
it's
that.
It's bad. I did a horrible, horrible thing. It's terrible. Cows. That was
right.
That was the 2020 sigh.
2020 sigh, patented.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I must be right.
It has to be right. Yeah. I think I read something recently that like. I don't know. I don't remember what the context was at this point, but there is something about like every breath in 2020 is a sigh. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other things too, but that was the thing that I remember. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely a thing. Mm. Also, well. apparently a thing is homebrewing. Fantasy drugs with elaborate details and rules. I've got a 5-page document that's incomplete about this drug that I invented.
It's like I think I don't know. It's really funny because there are certain things that I think each of us have topic wise that we'll just get totally in the weeds of, where somebody will plant a seed and then I'm like, okay. But I realized I come by it honestly because my dad was telling me a story about how he's like doing business with someone and needed to find something. And he basically went down this Google rabbit hole of how sketchy this person was.
Nice.
And he's like, meanwhile, 3 hours later, I came up for air. And like, he was like, I called someone. He's like, he cold called someone and was just like, hey, what's up with this person? I'm so-and-so. You don't know me, but I just want to know about this other person. And the guy was like, my dad's like, I just really want to know. I'm like, who? Like, I was like, detective agency, family detective agency.
It's fair.
This needs to happen.
What would you like if someone called, like you, if you were on the receiving end of that call, how likely would you be to give out information?
if I had had like a poor experience, like it seemed like that was basically the vibe of what was happening with my dad's story, then I would probably be open about it once I found out like the why.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if someone's fair. Like, I'm doing this thing, I saw that you almost had this deal with this person, but didn't. Like, why was that? Like, what were your red flags?
Mm-hmm. that makes sense. Makes sense.
But I would have to answer my phone first. So
that's fair. That's
kind of a hurdle.
Yeah. I my rule is if you care, then you will leave a message.
Yes.
Because I have my phone does not ring if I do not know who you are.
Yeah.
So internet.
Trent, there it was again.
You can't call me. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gary, what color is the walls of the room that you are in? What would you call that?
This is a green. Oh no, maybe not. It's like a aqua.
Okay.
Yeah, and it, like when aqua first became,
I was like oh, this color. We're having different experiences because I'm not experiencing except, green.
Except for that one that's maroon straight behind me. Yeah. And the wall I'm facing is a lime green.
Oh.
So this area is going to get some work done. I actually
kind of sorbet themed.
Yeah. Let me bore you with some home improvement stuff. So I started on this wall all the way down at the end. I went into the attic and there is about every like third section of stud had insulation and the rest had fallen on the floor.
Nice.
So I started hanging insulation, which was fine. I was using the rolls. And then I got to some sections where the studs are spaced like very far apart or like 4 inches apart. Like, this is weird. So I'm trying to figure out like how I can actually insulate that. And one of the ways is like actually spraying foam on the backside, like expanding foam, but there's all, it's crazy expensive. And also there's like all sorts of warnings on how you can kill yourself with this. Like, I think I'm not there yet.
Good call.
So what I've opted to do is I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, and I'm going to have to live with it. I bought house wrap, which is that like Tyvek untearable stuff. Mm. It's almost like a paper, but not quite. It's very sturdy. So I'm stapling that to the studs and building like a cavity. And then I'm going to rent the foam, like not foam, the insulation blower that actually just blows fiberglass pieces. And I'm going to stick that in the gaps between and fill these up. Hopefully that'll take care of the areas where it is very warm, or not very warm, the opposite, cold.
I was like, wow. I was like, insulation works different than how I thought.
Well, so this wooden thing right there, that is an old, because the house is old, that's an old like fan, with just like a wood seal on it. So take that wood off and it's just like an open metal box and you would turn that fan on, open windows or doors downstairs and it would pull from downstairs up. So in the summer, it's not, you know, 100 degrees inside or whatever. So up above me, there's like, you know, 3.5 inches of insulation, which isn't enough. I'll add some more up there, but that's fine. Except right on this metal part, there's this like metal, you know, 2 foot tall chimney effectively. So you walk underneath that thing in the summer and you just like, it's just baking down. And you walk underneath it when it's cold and it's like, oh, it's really chilly here. So one of the first things I did is I threw layers of insulation on top of that. Just like, you know, as I'm working on this, like I can insulate that thing. That's an easy first step. So that's a little bit better. But then also like this door here, that door is interesting because everything this way, there's like a little hatch here that I can access, but everything that way, I had to cut a hole in the wall there and dive into. So it's been an experience. I'm really, really looking forward to this weekend and getting back in there. I have like a full face mask, like goggle. Good. Like the first time I worked up there, I didn't. And knocking down some of this old insulation, I came out of the attic and like my eyes were burning and like I had like a little, you know, fabric mask, not even like, you know, little construction mask on, but it was not doing enough to keep all this crazy particulate out of my lungs. And I was pretty much done. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So now I have this thing and it's got these goggles that go on and I look like I'm, and then I have a little headlamp I wear. I don't know why it's on my desk, but there it is. I'll be looking for that on Saturday.
In case there's a power outage.
So I can see the computer screen.
That's your weekend project. My weekend project is we kickstarted a bidet several months ago called the Narshole. And it was a combination of things because we had been looking at bidets, but we didn't really know what to get. And then this Kickstarter popped up and like, hey, here's a thing. We could just do that. And it was, you know, relatively, it was cheaper than some of the other things and also not knowing. And we don't have, so it's not going to be heated like some are. It's just going to take the water, like it, you get, use the same water source that the toilet uses. You just plug it into this thing and then it goes through. So my weekend project is going to be installing these bidets in the bathrooms. It has a little the logo. So their tagline is "Poop like a Viking," and the logo is like a Viking helmet sitting on top of a butt.
I love it. Be careful when you're turning off the shutoff valves supply lines to the toilet, because a lot of times, like if you haven't turned them off recently, they get a lot of calcification inside. Mm-hmm. You turn that and you might get a little dribble out the front. Don't panic if it dribbles out the front.
There's so one of the two shutoffs is brand freaking new because it was put
from
the plumbers that have been coming through. We're done with that project now, by the way. We've had plumbers for almost for like the last month coming over doing various things, and I think we're finally done with that. But the upstairs is still older. It has a shutoff valve, but it's an older one. So that's the one I'm more concerned about. But the downstairs one should be fine, because like everything is new downstairs. We have a new toilet, new shutoff valve, like the pipes underneath it are new. Like it's yeah.
Guys, I'm gonna have to come up with a project for this weekend. I don't have anything.
Your project?
I don't think you do.
Your project?
I mean, I think a project can be
looking at my star chart or whatever.
Oh, I posted so much in Slack. I posted it as a reply, and now I'm like, oh, I probably should have put it as a document and uploaded it. It's going to be a lot more readable.
that's fair.
I still have to do it.
I know I did it, and then I typed my email address wrong, and I was like, oh, I just got the copy from my, So I went back thinking all my information was still populated, and I'm like, I don't know the
end. It's like four fields. Yeah,
it's literally four fields.
I think it's like
a birth, day, month, and year of birth, and time, and you're done.
Do it. I want to see how compatible we all are. Come on.
Okay. I will do it today.
I just want to see the patterns, if there are any. I haven't found any yet, but
I'm like in the early stages of studying the ideas of how like societies grow and develop. There's a lot of great recent writings on that.
And so I'm really excited. Authors or?
I don't know off the top of my head. I have to dig back in my notes.
That's a very random.
It's not. It totally goes hand in hand with where I've been trying to understand life, the universe, and everything. I mean, it absolutely is. It goes hand in hand. Like the concept is that, or the concept of which I ended up here was that, I guess what we started the show with, that I can't understand your reality, but somehow there's this intersection point, whereas like groups of tribal people, we say, yeah, like enough with this, like doing this other thing would make things better. Because generally, like, our default is to tolerate everything, you know?
Do you think?
I do. I mean, yeah, absolutely, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we tolerate all sorts of silly stuff.
Yeah, no one wants the confrontation. Nobody wants to stop.
We tolerate broken food supply systems. We tolerate, I mean, that's one that I feel like is sort of on a cusp of awareness. But I mean, I think an easy one is how long people just tolerated militarized police, really, you know? I mean, decades. We tolerate lying to a certain extent in politicians, and that's why it's a stark contrast right now, is that, oh, well, this is too much lying. What? Like that, you know, like there's absolutely.
That's the precedent that you set years ago. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like you've gone past what we're societally okay with, you know? I mean, and I think it's even more micro than that. Look at just how different cities have standards for driving. You know, like, well, this city tolerates drivers that behave this way in this city or state or whatever, you know? I think that tolerance is the human default. So I'm really curious as to what's the domino point? What's the inflection point where you go, well, that's enough, and things change. I think if I could understand that, where that point is, I feel like I could be more effective in actually being involved in making things better, as opposed to just like, I don't know. It's, you know, it's like very easy to be like, well, I mean, it's really easy to be like, well, I don't know. I don't even know how to help. So I'll throw money at some nonprofit, right? But I don't know. Maybe it's more important to figure out how to identify what the tipping point is and then just keep pointing at that thing. Because if enough people tip on it, you know, you don't need a lot of momentum. If everybody's, you know, in the spot of tolerance and enough people get intolerant, people tolerate other people being intolerant, you know?
But is this assuming there's...
Light was just like, ah!
Is this assuming there's one tipping point for everything?
No, this is assuming that there is a way to idealize and understand it and say, what are the things that are preventing a tipping point here? What are the barriers? And yeah. And in conjunction with that, it doesn't matter anyway, because it's all in my head. It's all in your head. It's
I have a lot of
things. I think the negative to this this concept of it all being in my head is, if it is, like this is what I came up with. Really? Come on.
Yeah, you're better than that, Gary. It's definitely not in your head.
I know, but our experienced realities. I need to walk another 40 miles this week, apparently.
That would be a podcast unto itself, is just audio musings from you while you're walking.
Yeah, that's its own podcast.
Ooh, cows!
existential musings.
Existential ramblings.
Of Gary on walks. Yeah.
And you can just call it Walk with Gary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Totally innocuous. You would never guess where this train is going to go. You would not know.
The suspense.
That is amazing. I think it needs to happen. It should be a Binary Jazz Network podcast.
A spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can only do it once a week because.
That's fine. That's a good.
That's we only do this once a week.
Good cadence for podcasts.
It's a really valid point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because of the cadence of the way things work in my head, like one idea could last for 8 or 10 or 20 walks.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Like exploring that thing.
Yeah.
And often what will happen is I'll explore a thing, and then once I feel like I've adequately explored it, the next thing will be like, why was that thing wrong that I spent miles convincing myself was the thing? You know,
it's interesting that you're like battling to convince yourself of something.
Oh, well, I know what I'm thinking about tomorrow.
sorry, psychoanalyzing. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's a valid point that I haven't really looked at much. What's behind this drive? And I don't know. I mean, cause like ultimately, all right, let's just like pretend, like fast forward that like I have this huge revelation of some sort, and like suddenly everything has meaning or no meaning and it doesn't matter one way or the other. Like, what does that get me? What then? I don't know. Like, there's not like a finish line.
Isn't the meaning that they're just...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz.
Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.